Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hello there, my very good friends. On today's wrestling news, the major problem WWE is all too aware of.
We've got former world champions returning on last night's WWE Raw.
Got a bunch of additional draft picks announced after Raw.
And we have news on a new AEW roster member.
It's the eel. Hi, I'm Andy Murray.
I'm Michael Hamflett.
And this is the news. Right, we're going to kick this one off by... we haven't really spoken about this viral controversy, conversation, whatever the heck you want to call it. We haven't really videoed this stuff yet, but hey, look, a story has emerged, so let's talk about Death Rebel.
I'm excited.
Goodness gracious. Right, so you've probably seen it, right? If you're active on Twitter, if you're not, good life choice. I envy you. I wish I wasn't addicted to that god-awful platform, but I am. You've probably seen a fair bit of criticism for old Death Rebel recently. If you don't know who they are the team that creates music for WWE entrance music. They took over from CFOs a few years ago, and if you're wondering why you watch the Royal Rumble and you cannot pick out a blooming entrance, apart from the sting on every song being a catchphrase or a nickname, it's Death Rebel. They make the music. Now, recently on socials, it's been a big parody thing. It's like, let's make some crap entrance themes and go, hey, look, this is Chad Gable's new theme. And you listen to it and it's like, bah, 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 bah. That's no way, Jose, but never mind.
That was good.
Yeah, you've seen the meme. They were trending on online a few weeks ago because people were just making fun of them. It actually got quite mean in the end. But Sean Rossap on a Fightful Select Q&A show was asked about this, asked about Death Rebel in general. And he says that WWE are very aware of the problem. He also spoke about this guy, Douglas J. Davis, who was at one point involved in Death Rebel. He was actually caught in footage accusing an Uber driver of anti-Semitism recently. Apparently, he's no longer involved in Death Rebel.
Right.
However, I'll read Sean's quote. They're very aware of them. There was today the thing with Douglas J. Davis and the Uber driver. I reached out to WWE about him because he was originally a part of Death Rebel, and they were quick to say, no, he's not anymore, and he hasn't been for years. So, yeah, WWE aware of Death Rebel and their current situation, I guess. What do you think?
I didn't know that. And that's a more serious end of the story.
Yeah,
if they parted ways, probably all for the best.
Absolutely.
In terms of the music, I have two takes on this, right? The theme music, it's always going to be subjective. We talk about this with music, with art, with everything like that. You might be watching this thinking, well, the WWE themes have never been better and like more gristle to your mill. I disagree, and I think a lot of people do. Like, a lot of people seem
more gristle to
like
your mill. What does that mean?
It means what I want it to mean. But my other take on this, as we kind of talked about on the desk, is I believe, quietly, this is a compliment to WWE for doing more things right than they have in a very, very long time. I think when you're at the point when you're picking on the entrance themes, as opposed to the booking, the character direction, the champions, even how the shows look, because if you think about how people have been complimented all the production choices of late, things like theme music start to stick out more. I remember this exact conversation happening during like what most people consider AEW's creative peaks. It's like, sure, some of the music could do with a bit of an uplift, that kind of thing. So I think at this point, WWE is satisfying its core base to such an extent that they're then looking for what else can be done to improve it, and thus what you get is how meme culture works. Now, the snowball effect of a bunch of people saying, is it just me or the theme's terrible? And then a series of parody themes, one after another after another. Not least because if something can be parodied, it means that it had to be bad in the first place to leave inspiration for parody. there has been some incredible entrance music over the years. People know, like, a lot of, most people can, like, understand how important it is. Like, respect the work of Jim Johnson and CFOs and some of the other people that have come before Def Rebel. So this is not unexpected and not out of the blue. There are some bangers in there. Roman Reigns is a Def Rebel. Gunther, Jey Uso.
Yeah, you've got some good ones, for like, sure.
But but the Royal Rumbles always seem to flag this up, and this time it's not going away, is it?
Yeah, this is it. I saw someone, I can't remember for the life of me who it was, but I thought this was bang on. Someone commented the other day that the Def Rebel themes are the elevator music equivalent of, like, hip-hop and rock.
Yeah.
So I do feel like, you know, with these online bandwagons, they always go too far. And some of it did get very, very mean with Def Rebel. And I'm not going to sit here and call for people's jobs.
No.
But music is a very important part of pro wrestling presentation. And when your all-time megastar is coming down to just do the most generic series of chords you've ever heard, like the Bron Breakker change recently is a good example.
Yeah.
Perfectly good entrance scene before that. Now it's the most... It just feels like a copy-paste job a lot of the time. So, yeah, I think their contracts are up quite soon. Actually, either this year or next year, I read somewhere. I don't really know what the solution is. You know, Jim Johnson's 72 or 73, probably not coming back. CFOs, I believe it was there was a royalty issue or something there with those two parties. But... It is quite disappointing that WWE for years, under Jim Johnson in particular, but CFOs as well, they've got some hits, was just this incredible entrance music company, and now it's not really a thing. So interesting to hear that the company's at least aware of this, because the previous regime would not have been aware of this whatsoever. So fair play. I just hope we get some better themes. You know, WWE is richer than God. I've said this a few times recently. Why don't they just license like 20 really cool songs?
Yeah.
Why don't they do that? Like AEW does it. Like companies throughout history, ECW. Well, they didn't really license them. They just used them.
Who else does it though? This is it, right? So like UFC does it, and look at the landscape now. Look at how we had like a Prime logo on the ring for the first time. Night One's matches were all individually sponsored. It's becoming way more normalised that WWE gets in bed with licensing agreements that previously they were like, oddly, of all the things Vince McMahon believed there was some sort of line of respect in, that was one he didn't want to cross. That's not the case anymore. Like, if you're not sort of getting in-house themes that replicate some of the bangers of old, like follow a business model that is within your umbrella company now. And do it that way. Like, look at CM Punk and Cody Rhodes, two of the most iconic entrance themes, and both of them are licensed and existed, like, outside of WWE as well as within it. Like, there's no coincidence.
And just think of the possibilities. You could get Creed for the Creed Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously.
When they lift them up for the Doomsday Brutus Ball. They can take them
arms wide open. It's a different song, Andy. But let us know what you think down in the comments section below. Maybe you're into the Def Rebel themes. Actually, you know what? Pick out some of your best ones, like Gunther, Roman Reigns. Obviously, those are great. But have you got any other Def Rebel favourites? Throw them down there. Let us know. Maybe shine a more positive light on what has been a dog pile that I'm aware we are contributing towards. just trying not to be mean.
A Def Rebel entrance theme echoed throughout Raw last night when everybody heard Braun! And then didn't get the riff that they remember, because that's kind of how the Death Rebel effect happens. But Braun Strowman returned to Raw last night. One of the two world champions that returned unannounced, the other being Stephanie McMahon, to announce... Oh, women's world champion. To announce some picks in the draft. She had that card, of course. WWE have brought back various figures from the past to read out the drafts and go through all the Raw and SmackDown picks. Stephanie McMahon was one of them. But more notably, Braun Strowman made his return last night. He came out to save Jey Uso from an attack by Logan Paul, The Judgment Day, and their new best friend, Patrick Mahomes, who gave his Super Bowl ring to Logan Paul to knock out Jey Uso.
He was a babyface and then he was a heel.
Yeah. It tracked to me that these guys that kind of look like douchebags all behave like douchebags. I could buy into that at least. But yeah, he gave the ring to Logan Paul. Logan Paul was laying a beating on Jey Uso, and then Braun Strowman returned, decked all the baddies as you would expect, sort of linked arms with Jey Uso. He he's been gone for over a year at this point. He was in a team that we love very much with Ricochet up until the injury.
I thought you were going to say the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, no, I don't care about Patrick Mahomes. There was no pop for him. There was a pop for Braun. But he was later drafted on the show as well. So he'll be on Monday Night Raw every week, where Ricochet also lives, mm-hmm. if they want to get that team back together. But who knows? Braun Strowman, of course, is a former world champion. He'd been released and then came back. I would sort of describe him in 2024 as a bit of an impact player. I think he's like that kind of monster that people still enjoy. He still gets an enormous pop, always looks amazing. Yeah. Small dose wrestler at this point, but like again, great for those big impact moments.
He looked enormous overall as well. He looks like he's been getting jacked
Boof.
In his time off. So I'm very excited about that. I think Braun, obviously, a very explosive guy, I think, like in his peak run, like 2017-18, thereabouts. Yeah. He was such a quick mover. Even though, like, you know, he had a bit of a baptism of fire in WWE where it was like, you've not even been on NXT, we're just going to throw you straight on TV. And you kind of watched him learn as he went. But he was a really good athlete. His knees kind of deteriorated a little bit. But he had a really good run with Ricochet, where they complemented each other really perfectly, like in terms of their skill sets and stuff. And we've seen various incarnations of him. But for me, one thing that WWE has always done better than any other American company is monsters, like proper monsters.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have the modern three-dimensional Gunther, Dijak, whoever else, who can do it all. But I kind of like just seeing a massive powerhouse sometimes. And Braun fits that role. I would also like to see Omos back on TV. What's going on there?
Yeah.
Get that giant man back. I love him. What's going on with him? But yeah, nice to see him back. It's been over a year. Serious injury for Braun. That's why we're talking about him today. If he'd just been gone 3 months with an ankle sprain, we wouldn't bother. Because it's not as big news. But yeah, lovely to see him back. Hope to see him do some cool things. I'm a Braun guy. I think he's, definitely said some silly things in the past. Who cares if the work's good, right? As long as he's killing it in the ring, I'm good.
Get the speed title on him by the end of the year for me.
Arr, I can choo-choo around that ring. Remember the choo-choo effect?
That's it, yeah. Get the train noise going. He just decks somebody with a shoulder, wins a belt.
Cool.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Before we go any further, though, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, we all carry around different stressors. They can be big life worries or just, you know, little things like your favorite wrestler not being used properly. The thing is, when we keep them bottled up, it really can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. It is really helpful too for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. Therapy basically empowers you to be the best version of yourself. So why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and best of all, suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/whatculture today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/whatculture.
Right, let's talk about some additional draft picks that were made after Raw last night. We're not going to go over the picks that were made in the show. You can watch Ups and Downs. There'll be some stuff on there from Simon Miller. However, some picks were announced after the show, as is always the case. It was the case on SmackDown, neck and neck with the NFL draft. That turned out well. So Raw, after the show, picked the Creed Brothers and Ivy Nile, which makes sense because they've been linked to a role alongside Chad Gable, who's definitely stayed on Raw. I'm getting that right. The New Cash Republic, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bates, they're on Raw. Mm-hmm. And Dijak has been called back up.
Yes.
From NXT. T-Bar back. Mm-hmm. He announced that on Twitter. He just tweeted so casually, like, oh yeah, I'm on Raw now, lol. it was quite funny. SmackDown, meanwhile, have picked up Tegan Nox and Giovanni Vinci. That makes sense because Giovanni Vinci was excluded from Imperium after being beaten up last week. Even though the LWO were drafted with Carlito and he beat up them last. It's all very weird.
That was his exact draft stat.
Yeah.
Like, Carlito, betrayed LWO last week.
But he's still in there. Okay. But yeah, there you go. Some additional picks made. There'll be some more. It's locked in as of next Monday draft.
Yeah.
Close the door.
Short on headlines. That's why we talk about third rather than first, I suppose. This whole draft's been short on headlines for me. Like, it's been a very conservative number of moves made. I understand, by the way, the philosophy of not changing everybody up, otherwise you've pretty much just swapped Monday's rosters for Friday. I get that. I'm not thick. But at the same time, like, it's been devoid of some big headline moves. Like, even, like, the drafts of old would offer you something daft, like a major headline, a change in sides, just so you'd be curious to watch them cut the first promo in a ring with different coloured ropes a few days later, even if their stories remain the same. Same here with the supplemental ones. Obviously, WWE are always tacitly letting you know how much these drafts matter by not including them on the show. I think some interesting names here. I think the New Caps Republic have carved out a surprisingly nice run as babyfaces on SmackDown. The Raw Tag Division is in probably better health than SmackDown, so that's like a good move for them. And yeah, Dijak, honestly, I thought he'd stick around on NXT as the veteran presence. You need a couple of experienced hands to help the greener talents go, but he has done really well down there. Like, he's put the ghost of T-Bar back into the cupboard. Yeah. And I'm sort of hyped for this.
He's had
second
a bit
bite
of,
for Dijak.
In terms of his run, he's had a bit of retribution, you might say.
Eh?
No, but Dijak's extremely talented and didn't deserve that crap gimmick. Yes, I wonder if in this era where people can just jump around brands, right? Mm. It's really soft. It's not a hard split anymore. Maybe the brand just isn't an interesting enough concept to warrant two TV shows now,
yeah,
right?
I agree.
Maybe it doesn't need to exist at all. Maybe you could just have trades throughout the season. I don't know. Mm. Either way, there's some fresh pairings here and there, and we'll talk about some of those in the Twitter questions in a little bit.
Favourite creative draft fumble of 2024 is Nick Aldis working 3 months to sign Bron Breakker, and then Adam Pearce going, I'll draft him, thanks very much. They can just do it, can't they?
Yeah.
But speaking of signings with him, or actual heft to them, AEW have made a shoot one rather than a draft between Collision, Rampage and Dynamite. Camille, the former NWA Women's Champion, is now All Elite. This comes hot off the heels of Tony Khan in the Revolution media call, not the scrum, but the pre-show media call, saying that she was one of the free agents to be most excited about in pro wrestling, so he was maybe teasing that the deal was nearly done. She held the NWA Women's title for 800 odd days, if you're not a fan of Billy Corgan's product, and I wouldn't judge you for that. But yeah, so she made a good reputation for herself in a product that at best could be considered a niche concern, as opposed to, you know, AEW and WWE. Had a on-air sort of bond with Nick Aldis for a while when he was sort of a big deal in NWA as well. AEW quietly has assembled what I would say to be the stronger of the two women's rosters in North America in 2024. The booking is about halfway there to actually being able to make the use of all these talents.
Yes.
But I think for the first time since AEW launched, when a female wrestler signs, it's time to get hyped and hope for the best rather than worry that they're just going to get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, and it's a different kind of signing as well, Camille. Not, you know, she's plays that kind of imposing powerhouse role. Obviously, they've previously played on that dynamic with her and Layla Hirsch and the face-to-face they had and stuff, which I saw doing the rounds again today. But yeah, like, even the way the NWA built her up, initially she was Nick Aldis's, like, silent bodyguard type figure, and then she transitioned over into the ring. So the NWA initially was very careful with her during the early power era. Then she became women's champion, and she dominated the division for 2 years, basically. So It's a really interesting signing, for sure. I think, you know, in a lot of ways, she is still developing. So it'll be curious to follow her journey. She's not the type of wrestler who's going to go out and do 20 minutes with Serena Deeb in the technical classic. They've wrestled before, and it was really good. But they're not, you know, they're not going to go hold-for-hold Danielson and Sabre style or whatever. But that's actually a compliment, because I think it's good to have different styles and different presences and different charismas.
A bit of range across the field, yeah.
Absolutely, in that division. She's not someone... she's going to stand out immediately, is what I'm trying to say. And yeah, I'm a big fan of her work. I'm looking forward to seeing her dive into that division, which has been presented quite a bit better over the past few months, certainly.
Yeah.
And I think that they're in a pretty healthy position. Turn Mercedes heel and the division will be absolutely flying.
We're on the way there. Yeah, there's no way she gets shade against Willow.
No, I imagine.
Yeah,
CEO. Right.
Money.
Let's head over to today's Twitter questions. First one today. I saw a bit of a rush this morning. Adam's off today, so I had to just grab the first three I saw. So apologies if I overlooked your good question. Not that these aren't good, but you know.
Stuck with you guys.
Yeah, you suckers. Jokes aside, the first one comes from Alabama Slim, who asks today, you'll enjoy this one because it's combining your two favourite things.
I love this.
Should WWE go ahead and combine the Judgment Day and the Final Testament and create a group called the Final Judgment?
The Final Judgment.
Well, like, what do you do with the Final Testament? Because they're kind of a must.
You'll do what I thought they were doing, which is have them go to NXT and stay there.
Yeah,
it is a bit of a bust. They have at least been splitting the draft from the Pride, Bobby Lashley, Street Profits and B-Fab, so that is well and truly done and dusted. Final Testament belong for me not on NXT because of the developmental side of it, but because it is a place that fosters wackier ideas and sillier creative. And like, look, the Final Testament are wacky ideas and silly creative. I understand that people like gear elements of pro wrestling. You're a huge House of Black guy. There are ways to do The Undertaker.
The House of Black can work would be the difference.
Dead man turned the lights off and people went nuts for it, you know. It just doesn't happen for Final Testament. Mega Glove themselves.
Mega Glove.
Domination on NXT would be the way for me. They're going to stick around on the main roster, whether they like or not. But you've got AOP shooting for the tag belts down there. Karrion Kross, for better or worse, looks like a monster only when he's in there with smaller guys or greener guys. So yeah, that's how you make it work. At this point, I think the Judgment Day are on their own road to ruin, with Damian Priest presumably going to turn full babyface at some point, and Rhea Ripley certain to be one when she returns as well. I don't think you need to bring them together. I just think you need to keep the Final Testament where a narrative universe suits their style more.
Yeah, I think the presentation has just been a bit weird, because Karrion Kross is not an imposing guy on screen. No. Like, if you watch his interviews and like his famous Jesse Ventura, he's like a very charming, engaging guy.
Yeah.
But like, monster-wise, I never watch him and think, I am terrified of this guy, like I did watching Vader's, a harsh comparison. But even like peak Braun was a more like...
He's a dark, brooding monster because he wants to be, not necessarily because he sees it.
Yeah, so like, I don't even know if this is really the best role for him. I do like AOP. They're really chaotic and they're really green, but they're really fun. In a lot of ways, Scarlett, obviously, she's going to be working with Karrion Kross forever, and they should be, because they're partners. I'm not too sure why Paul Ellering is there. I mean, I'm glad he's getting paid, and I'm not saying he should be gotten rid of, but I don't think he just kind of stands there. And obviously, back in the day, right, he was important to the LOD because he was literally their handler, right? He booked their hotels, he raised their travel, he looked after those guys.
Yeah.
Is he doing the same for AOP? I don't know. It's weird.
Nobody told the game Triple H, right, that the connection between the AOP and Paul Ellerin, which was something people were fond of for a while, was 2016, 2017. That is 7 to 8 years ago. That's longer than Steve Austin and The Rock's Attitude Era runs combined. Like, he put a lot of his faves on pause, and then when he got the pencil in 2022, he was like, right, where are we at? Yeah. Where are my guys at?
Paul Ellering, come home. Shouts to Paul Ellering, man.
Yeah.
Getting paid in 2024. You love to see it.
If he is booking the hotels for AOP, then I guess he must have forgot to book the ones in Nottingham last year for that big UK show. I'm still waiting for that one, guys. Come on. I want to see Nia Jax versus Lana in the headliner.
Yeah, it turns out Premier Inn doesn't take NFTs. Right, Mark Brightman.
I got a smoking monkey.
Mark Brightman has been on. saying, good morning, gents. Considering the absolute behemoths drafted to Raw, Strowman, Dijak, etc., in addition to the guys already on the roster, what big meaty men matches are you looking forward to the most?
Good observation this, you know. There is a low-key beef division on Raw. I'm not the biggest Bronson Reed guy, if I'm honest, but the more guys like that he's got to work with, the more weeks you just get the match graphic. I would say these matches at this point are the closest WWE has to those graphic drops that AEW were quite good at. You know, there's a match you didn't know you won until you just saw the images of the two men next to each other. These ones on Raw, that especially drop on like a Monday afternoon, they're the best case scenario. Like Bronson Reed, am I that? Do I think he's going to beat Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental title? No. Do I want to see him do the suplex collapse in ring spot with Braun Strowman? Yes.
Yes.
So like that, like Dijak again getting in the mix, like can he pick the guys up? All those little things, like more Viking Rules matches with Ivar, Sheamus, like doing banger after banger after banger with the big lads. It's a low-key little success story, I think, that Triple H will have made good by the summer with all of these monsters just sort of clattering into each other.
Omos versus Gunther.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Cool. That's the one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's not been drafted, but the big lad versus Gunther is the one.
The big chop, but reaching, bro.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's do it. Why not? What would that look like? I have no idea. Dijak Gunther would rock as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the first Gunther Braun match kicked ass too.
Yes.
So plenty of fun options.
Run that back.
Involving the big beefy boys.
And he's not a beefy boy, but he loves mixing in with him. Elias signed to Raw as well. Hoying himself on the big lads. Like,
yeah, he's a freak of sorts.
He's got something in his eyes.
He's a silly little guy.
He's grown on me a lot. He's a weird guy.
Cody Arms has been on asking, good morning, gents. Do you think if Jimmy and Jey Uso's roles had been reversed at the beginning of the Bloodline saga, with Jey out due to injury and Jimmy becoming Roman's right-hand man, we'd have had the same story we've had to date? I don't think so, because I think the indomitable babyface connection of Jey Uso means this has worked out rather perfectly for him.
Yeah. If we sat here saying, yeah, it would have been fine if you just switched him, are we not the same people that used to get them mixed up when they were playing hard in the paint? That was the whole deal with the Usos, wasn't it? They were wanting to distinguish themselves.
Hey,
from
there's
one
people who get FTR mixed up in this world.
FTR hair and FTR ball. Yeah, it's sort of easy. That's it. No, I think like they offer very different things. I loved Jimmy Uso, when WWE pretty much just abandoned the serious bit of why he turned heel, and he was like, Roman's banter, and he would say yeet by accident, and Roman would go, no yeet. Like, Jimmy was great in that spot, whereas Jey, when he moved to Raw and was the earnest babyface trying to make friends with all the people he'd wronged, I think that was quite a difficult character shift.
Yeah.
And I just think they've got different skills, none of which were on display at WrestleMania XL, which both Usos have since
spoken
about.
On display during the entrances.
And the exit.
And the spear.
Oh, the spear was good. Like,
you're off the stage.
I love that, like, in years to come, we can say things like, yeah, Jimmy and Jey kind of, like, stole one of the biggest moments of WrestleMania XL. What, night one? No.
Yeah, they totally overshadowed the Intercontinental title match, I agree.
Indeed. Different wrestlers, different skills, and it's been nice to see them flex those a bit, though I do welcome a tag team return as babyfaces down the road as well.
Big agree, and I think doing that on Raw, well, the new bloodline runs roughshod on SmackDown, and then Roman comes back to Raw, where Sami is as well, by the way.
War Games is looking tasty, isn't it?
It's a really good storyline. I hope The Rock is writing some of it, because he's really good. You know what else is really good? It's this video here. Do you know what this is? It's a ranking of every gimmick match ever in wrestling. Who would do such a thing? Gareth Morgan would do such a thing, and he's here for you.
I'm watching it right now.
Me too. What a thing. But it's actually probably like here. But see you later. Bye. Egg.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.